Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. We're going back to the beginnings in Genesis. Tonight we're on day 5 of creation, coming towards the end of this study, and it's been a good study. It says in verse 20, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." So what we're having on day 5 is the creation of the water life and the fowl life. Basically, people say the fish and the birds. It's more than that, but that's basically what is being created on day 5. So there was a great preparation leading up to day 5. Day 5, as we'll see, is a marker in creation where we have a difference in the types of creation that we are been talking about. On this 5th day of the creation week, the earth was ready now to support life. God had made water, He had made the soil, He created air, He had created plant life, He created fruit from the trees, He had created vegetation that the plants and the animals could eat. All was prepared in the first 4 days of creation. He had created the sun to give light and to give warmth and to give seasons. And now God is creating the first inhabitants of earth. And it's the animals that live in the sea and the animals that fly in the air. It's all preparation. All these 4 days leading up to this first creation of inhabitants. But He comes through the same way as we've seen in the first 4 days of creation. He speaks, He proclaims. It's a proclamation of God. He's saying, "And God said." Here on day 5, we have the first living, breathing creatures of creation through God's proclamation of God said. He spoke them into existence. Whereas we saw last week, the plant life was already seeded in the earth and He just called it forth. Here God creates, He speaks by His word, and the fish are created and the plant life, or the fowls, or the birds of the air are created. You know, this is the first of intelligent creation. Now, we would say that plants have no intelligence, but plants are alive. So are animals. Animals are alive, but animals have some intelligence. Animals have an ability to think. Though limited in their intellectual capacity, not like men and women and boys and girls, but they are higher in their intellect than, say, a plant. A plant does not have any intellect. It is just alive. But there's a distinction. There's a difference to the type of creation that's happened on days 1 through 4 and now on creation day 5 and day 6. Until now, all things were created, had no consciousness. They had no consciousness. Matter, vegetation, they're changeable, they're usable, but they have no consciousness. On day 5. God creates creatures that have life and in this context have consciousness. They can think. This is the first time in the Bible the word life is used. Look back in our Bibles at verse 20 again. "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life." That is the first time this word is used in the Bible. It appears and shows us that the quality of consciousness that possessed by the animals is similar to the man, but not exactly, because the word used for life, when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, He created in him a living soul. Here God has created animals. He's created the water animals and the animals that are the bird kingdom, and He has created them with life, with consciousness. It's significant in this sense that this is a major act of creation. It's no longer forming. It's no longer preparing. Now it is creating life to inhabit God's creation. First, God brought into reality time. He brought into reality space. He brought into reality matter, and then He energized matter and gave the laws that governed His creation. It's shaped, it's organized, it's formed, as we've seen in the first 4 days. But then there was brought into reality, into creation on day five, consciousness. This is different. This is something that is not now forming creation, it is filling creation. It is inhabiting God's creation. Everything that God has made previous is for this moment and on day six. All of these things on day five and day six are made after what God has made for them and what they would need. Food, life, plant life, place to live, place to hide. Gravitational forces to keep them on earth, the sun and the moon and the seasons and time. All of this is created by God before He inhabits this planet. It even says in verse 22, God blessed them, the winged fowl and those water creatures. He blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." That was not said to the animal, to the plant life kingdom. That was not said to the water separating from the earth. That was not said to the solar system. That was not said to the sun and the moon and the stars. It is just said to life with consciousness. Be fruitful and to multiply. It's a propagation of the planet. He is saying to have young babies of your kind. God blessed first His creation, and then God pronounces that He sees it good, and that it pronounces a blessing on these creatures, something He has not done yet. Their role is to be fruitful. Their role is to multiply. Their role is to fill the habitations where they live. And that habitation has not been given in creation and will not be given again until day six and then after the flood. So just like we had trees and plant life created with life, with age, with maturity, they had seeds, they were able to reproduce as soon as they were created. This creatures of the water and the creatures of the fowl kingdom, they were all created with maturity, able to reduce, to reproduce. You know the age-old debate, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, I know the answer. The chicken came first, not the egg. Because God created the chicken on day five, with maturity and blessed it and told it to be fruitful and multiply. This role of multiplying and filling the habitats where you reside as water creature or land creature or one that can fly in the air is required by God for them to do. So they would fill the earth. In other places in the Bible, we see God continually cares for and provides for the creatures of day five's creation. We could go forward to the flood. One day maybe we'll look at the flood, and it's an interesting study to study the worldwide flood. Noah was not told to bring any of the water creatures onto the ark. The water creatures survived the flood. At least a portion of them did. But God also in the New Testament blesses and takes care of those creatures of the bird kingdom. Over in Matthew 6 and verse 26. Matthew 6 and verse 26, Jesus says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" God takes care of the bird kingdom. He has taken care of the water kingdom, of the animals of the water kingdom. He's blessed them. They're the first to receive God's blessing. So let's talk about these two kingdoms of creation on day five. Let's first look at the sea creatures. All the sea creatures, the Bible says in verse 20, God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." Verse 21, "And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind." If we're looking just at the sea creatures, on day three of creation, God lovingly prepared a separation between the land and the sea, in anticipation of what He is going to do on day five. Create the water with life. God, with just a few words and His infinite power, creates every type of water creature on day five. Consider this for just a moment. This is just touching the surface. But consider this for just a moment. There are sea-dwelling water creatures that cannot survive in a cold climate like Russia or Alaska and the waters of these countries, but they thrive in the warm tropics of the Bahamas. In like manner, there are those which, if the water were just a few degrees warmer, they would perish. On the fifth day of creation, God brought forth, with His power, of His voice alone, every living water-dwelling creature. Every one of them. You just start rattling off the names of them and you'll forget half of them, if not majority of them. But when God spoke, the sea was suddenly teeming with every kind of creature that lives there. Tiny ones that most of the larger, the whales and the killer whales, they feed on the krill, small shrimp-like creatures. These would have been created on day five, the krill. They would have created small fish like sardines, minnows. They would have been medium-sized fish like the bass and the trout. They would have been bigger fish such as the marlin and the swordfish. And then you go to the extreme like the sharks and the killer whales and the whales. There would have been fresh water and there would have been salt water. There would have been warm climate fish and there would have been cold climate fish. All of this God, in His infinite knowledge, created with His spoken word on day five. When God spoke, and when God created, in verse 21, it says He created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly. It looks like God created the whales first. Well, this challenges the creationism of Genesis, challenges the normal, I'll say normal with quotation marks, the normal evolutionary theory of the process of evolving. Evolution says that things evolve from small to large. But the Word of God states that God creates the largest marine creature, whales, before He created the other marine life. Also, on day five of this creation of the creatures of the marine life, God also made jellyfish. He made eels. He made the coral. Coral is a live, living creature. He made crabs and lobsters and shrimp. I'm getting hungry now. Octopus and porpoises and any other water creature you can think of, God created on day five. And they were able to live and be sustained because God on days one through four had prepared the earth for them. There was sunlight to warm the water. There was the moon to cause tides. There was the moon to cause waves and currents. There was the food life, the plant life, the vegetation, that most of the marine life eat vegetation. But those that eat the krill and things, that's going to come also. When God said in verse 20, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly," He wasn't joking. He wasn't exaggerating. If you would take just a single drop of water from the sea, a single drop of water, and we were capable of looking at that on a molecular organism level, the one drop of water from the sea would contain up to 30,000 different species of organisms. 30,000 that God created on day five, as well as all the things that we know of in the sea. Psalm 104 and verse 25 says, "So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beast." Yes, it is. And He said, "Bring it forth abundantly." And it did. Let's look at the flying creatures. Back to verse 20. "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. And then He said, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." All the flying creatures, the bird kingdom. And not just the fish of the waters, but God creates the birds on day five. On the second day of creation, on day two, God lovingly prepares the atmosphere and the sky for the survival of His creation yet to come on day five. Also as a haven for the flying creatures on day five. They could fly through the firmament, through the sky. That was created on day two. God has a plan. On day three of creation, God creates trees and He creates bushes for the birds to rest in, for the birds to build nests in, for the birds to live in. Here in the same breath in which He creates every water creature of every kind, He creates every winged creature of every kind as well. Suddenly, at God's command, there is all manner of flying creatures. Birds like a small hummingbird, the parrots in their multiple colors, the pigeons and the pelicans and the eagles and the bats, and can go on and on and on. If a person had been there, they were not, but if a person had been there, it truly would have been astounding. Just at the sight of the birds flying through the sky. But then when they started landing and resting on the earth and on the trees and on the bushes, can you imagine the melody of the songs of the plant, of the birds singing? The birds of the sky are so innumerable. Different species with different characteristics. And God cares for them all. God was pleased when He looked at what He had made on day five. Not only did He say it was good, He blessed the fish, He blessed the birds, and He commanded them to reproduce, each to make baby animals just like them, after their kind. Although God does not love animals in the same way He loves mankind, He still notices when a sparrow falls to the ground. That's in Matthew 10. And He cares for His creation. Oh, how much more does God care for you and I? He didn't die for the animal kingdoms. He died for us. But if you look at this week of creation, you can't ignore science, because science is all throughout what is included in the creation of week, and God is above science, but science is here. We have a round earth, we have an atmosphere, we have an outer space, we have gravitational forces, we have laws, we have the creation system and how things are in order. It's very scientific. Our God is above all science, and He is scientific. But then man in his wisdom tries to come up with something other than what the Bible says to answer these questions. They try to say, no, there is no God. That's just cute. That's a fantasy. That's a myth. That's just to make you feel comfortable. But really, this is what happened. And it causes puzzlement in the minds of people. The Bible tells us that God made each one of these animals after its kind. Individuals who do not believe that God created anything say instead that one kind of animal evolved into another kind of animal all by itself. For an example, some people say that whales evolved from an animal like a cow or from some other large land animal. And their explanation of this, and it sounds so crazy, but their explanation is that the cow or the oxen or the rhinoceros, it got tired of living on the land and it wanted to live in the sea. And so instead of eating the grasses, it thought seaweed would be better. And so it decided to move to the sea. And it evolved into a whale. I wish they could hear themselves talk. There is no convincing evidence to support this. None. There is no fossil record that shows a cow going and becoming a whale. There is no fossil record. It's a theory that cannot be proven. And God tells us that He did not make land animals until day six. So if we believe God and try to agree with science too, and say, well, I believe parts of evolution. Careful. God didn't create a cow until day six. A whale was created on day five. And I hear the arguments of the evolutionists. Well, you can't prove creation either. I've got this book that has stood the test of time, that is so accurate, page after page after page, over 1,500 years and 40 different penmen that put it together, and it all agrees. Yeah, I've got proof. There is no evidence that one kind of animal ever changed into another kind of animal. They did not change species. In the beginning, there was no evolutionary struggle for existence. With death and disease over millions of years, and they tried, and we talked about it briefly in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, especially verse 2, they tried to throw in millions of years there, and the earth was in a chaotic form, and that's where the dinosaurs were, and that's where the meteor crashed into the earth, and that's where we get all these different species now, and that's why we have all the rock formations and the upheavals. And God does not create chaos. We went back. Go back and listen. Verse 2, I explained it as best I could to show you there was no chaos. God was forming His creation. And then they throw in the deaths over the millions of years and the millions of years. There was not one death on this planet until God sacrificed the rams for Adam and Eve's clothing. That was the first death. That was the first bloodshed. It was the bloodshed of atonement of a substitutionary animal for the sins of Adam and Eve. And He clothed them. That was the first death. So you mean to tell me everything before Adam and Eve sinned, everything was a vegetarian? That's what I believe from the Word of God. And I believe I could prove it. But after Adam and Eve sinned, death came upon the planet. And then after the flood, my things really changed. Let me get back to my study. This puzzlement, the confusion of thought. Satan does not want you to believe creation. God did not create anything. If you want to believe God, that's fine, but He is far and distant and removed from mankind and not concerned about the cares and the welfare of His creation. That is a lie of Satan. They say fish did not rise or come into being from a worm in some ancient pond. And birds did not, they say birds came from dinosaurs. The Bible says God created all the marine life and all the bird kingdom before He created any land animal. If animals were made themselves from other animals over long periods of time, we would have millions upon millions of fossils of halfway creatures that we don't have today. And there has not been one found. Not one. Well, the planet's 4.5 billion years old. Okay, well, let's see some fossil records. Well, we don't have any. Okay. The theory of evolution says that sea life came first, then land plants, then land animals, then birds. Something's wrong with that order. God said plants come first, then the sea life, then birds. God did not use evolution to create over millions of years. They try to teach that in Christian colleges. You know, you go, I'm going to a Christian college. I'm going to send my child to a Christian college. They're going to get a Bible education, and they're not going to be taught evolution. They're not going to be taught all that junk. They're going to be taught the Bible. You get in there, and you have liberal professors that don't want to believe the Bible truthfully, completely, and they combine science, they combine evolution with creation. They say, well, God used evolutional processes, and the days of creation were millions of years each. That is hogwash. The Bible says, and we've seen it, each day that God created is the Hebrew word yom. Y-O-M. You know, on your calendar, there is a Hebrew day that's usually on every calendar, and it's Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement doesn't last millions of years. The Day of Atonement is a 24-hour period of time. That's the word Yom. These were days, 24-hour days. God didn't need 24 hours to create everything He created in 24 hours. He spoke, there it was. Quicker than that. But what He's doing is He's setting up a week. We're going to see that in a few weeks, why He created a week. It gets me fired up because I was in secular college. I sat under professors that taught this hogwash, and I was not a Christian. And then I got saved, and I was still going to that college, and I had a professor that I was taking anthropology, which is a great thing to take if you're a Christian, and I was taking anthropology, the study of mankind and where man came from, and that professor was a Christian. And you know, the Australopithecus man and the Cro-Magnon man and the Pill-Down man and all these different skeletal remains they have found of man. As a Christian professor in a secular college, he said they're all lies. And he showed us in class the evidence that each one was a falsified lie of science community to try to prove the lineage of man in a secular college. I left pretty soon after that. God's got unlimited knowledge. He has unlimited power. His wisdom are such clearly seen in His creating process in such a short time. Until Adam sinned by disobeying God, no animal died, no human died. On day five, God simply gave the order that there should be living creatures in the waters and there should be living creatures in the air. And guess what? It came to be, just as God said. God's word is powerful. I was only going to go on this if I had time. And I have time, so it's a bonus. Why can birds fly and man cannot? If you believe the evolutional process, we should evolve enough into being able to fly. We cannot. It's a problem for the evolutionist. Well, we'll get there in another couple million years and we'll have wings and we can fly. Give me a break. God designed birds to fly. He did not design man to fly. God created birds with wings, which are made of feathers. Evolution has no answer for this. It is so awesome. Flight feathers are truly remarkable. When a bird raises its wings and the feathers move apart to let the air through, they reduce resistance to the air. But when they go on the downstroke, the feathers close together, thus greatly improving lift. A bird can vary the shape of one wing or another wing or both wings more efficiently for takeoff or for flapping or for gliding or for landing. Nobody taught the birds how to do this. God created them and they had it instilled in them by their Creator. People who don't believe in a creator have no explanation for the amazing design of feathers of birds. Most of them claim that a reptile's scales changed into feathers. Well, the reptiles come on day six. So that's quite a miracle. There is no fossil showing a transition from scale to feather. Never been found. Birds inside of their wings have light bones that are mostly hollow, with cross members to give their wings strength. Our bones are heavy. Our bones are solid for the most part. They have to support us when we walk, when we run, when we jump. A bird's beak is designed to save weight. It is made of a lightweight material called keratin. Keratin is in our hair. It's in a rhino's horn. Their beaks are very lightweight material, but yet strong enough, a woodpecker can bang on a tree until he's got a hole in it this big to get a worm out of it that big. Our jaws, man's jaws, are made of a heavy bone capable of taking a blunt force trauma to it, or of biting down and cracking and chewing. Birds have strong chest muscles to help flap their wings. Man does not have those muscles. Birds have special lungs with tiny one-way tubes. Our lungs do not have those tubes. Our lungs get all the oxygen we need for us to run around on the ground, while birds' lungs are designed to get the extra oxygen they need while they're in flight through those tubes that go to their nose, straight to their lungs. In the air, birds' bodies are streamlined to cut wind resistance. Our bodies are not shaped for flight. This hasn't stopped man from trying, though. They jump off bridges, they jump off cliffs, they jump off sand dunes, tying boards and flapping materials to them, trying to fly. It was only in our last century that men learned to make and fly airplanes by observing birds. We're not made to fly. So there's two viewpoints here that I'll close on day five. Creationism and evolution. They have two very different viewpoints of how the earth and life came to be. Creationism is based on the belief that the Bible is the credible source, the only credible source, which gives us the story of creation. In the span of 6 days, 24-hour days, God created the heavens and the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars and all the creatures of the earth. Evolutionists believe the human beings are a result of an evolutionary process, beginning with the simplest of molecules, a one-cell organism, to a modern person. It took a long time. In their estimation, the earth is approximately 4.5 billion years old, and they change that number very often. Life began, they say, with inorganic molecules, with the help of nature became viable living organisms. Animals and plant life evolved, becoming more fit for the environment they were in. Human beings have also evolved along the way from our primate ancestors into today's modern humans. Evolutionists believe that God was not the founder of the earth. Instead, it was a natural phenomenon, beginning with inorganic molecules evolving into mankind. Oh my goodness. The new telescope that we have put into space in the last few years, the James Webb Telescope, it is seeing images that we have never seen before. And it's pretty cool, some of the pictures that it's taking and sending back. But the scientific community that does not believe in God as a creator are starting to have to question some of their scientific evolutionary beliefs. Because the James Webb Telescope is taking pictures of things that I can't think of a better word than debunk. That debunks all of their theories. This couldn't happen this way. We got to go back to the drawing board and figure this thing out again. Just believe the Bible. As for my personal views, for whatever it's worth, I have decided a long time ago I'm going to trust the Word of God. God said it, that settles it. I don't have to believe it or not. God said it, that settles it. But I do believe it. The Word of God is the only source of absolute truth. And I do believe every word. Every verse, every chapter, every book, from cover to cover. Everything in the universe points to God as the Creator. Even Albert Einstein, one of the most brilliant people that ever lived on this planet, he said, of course there is a massive intelligence behind the universe. A man is a fool who doesn't believe that. But then he went on to say, like a fool, but we can never know him. The realization is that there is a God who created all we see and know. He is present, He is active in the world today. He created you and He created me in His own image. He can be known by you and me. He desires a personal relationship with you and with me. This realization of this God who created everything we see and know and all the things we can't see and don't know, this realization that He wants to have a relationship with us and He is present and He is active in the world today, this realization of these absolute truths should completely transform our outlook on life. But instead, we walk around with our head down. We hear somebody trying to proliferate their ideas of evolution, and we keep our head down and don't look at them and keep walking by. Don't make a fuss. Don't make a stir. So I don't know what to say. Just say, I believe God created it all. And I believe He did it in 6 literal days. You don't have to debate them. You don't have to argue with them. Just say what you came to say and move on. Point them to these lectures. I'm not the greatest speaker, but other people, tell them to go to Answers in Genesis, their website, the creation.com website. Great material out there for people that want to know the truth. Some mighty scientists that had been evolutionists studied the scriptures. Somebody challenged them and they studied and they put their scientific minds on the table and they said, let me look at this logically. And many of them have become believers. One of the great creation scientists of days just shortly gone by was a man by Dr. Henry Morris. He wrote constantly on the book of Genesis, especially about the flood, but on creation as well. Brilliant scientist, but he was a believer. Deep stuff, but he came to the point where he realized what I believe doesn't line up with what I see. And he began to challenge himself to accept what the Bible says. And he did. He wrote a lot of great books that have helped a lot of great people. Day five, God created all that we know and don't know in the seas, in the lakes, in the rivers, in all the waters of this planet. And in day five, he created all the bird life, all that fly through the air of the sky. He created them all on day five. We just need to believe it. God said it, that settles it. So as we go down life's journey, let's not be in the mainstream of all mankind. Let us be transformed. Not conform, but transformed to realizing that we serve the Creator. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you've shown us so far in these 5 days of creation. What an amazing God you are. We are just dumbfounded of what we're learning about you. What you could do and did do with your voice, spoken word. It's truly astounding, Lord. Thank you for letting us live in this creation that you've created. Help us to take care and help us to glorify you in it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.